Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place. Simple song.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When you began to take authority over everything that's not like God, you can tap into his glory. Amen. And then when you tap into his glory, he will engulf your presence and he will take over. And when he take over, guess what? He will take charge. Allow the Lord to take charge. And how do we let him take charge? We have to yield our way unto his way, our will unto his will. Glory to God. And when you be in the presence of the Lord, in his presence is the fullness of joy. Listen, in his presence is the fullness of joy, and on his right hand forevermore. Don't you know that when you get in his presence, there's some joy that's going to show up? Don't you know when you get into his presence that some things are going to break off of you? Don't you know that he is a consuming fire, that when he burns some things that's not of him, it will become the glory of God, and it will rest upon you? Amen. You can tell when someone been in the presence of the Lord, because you began to see the joy. You began to see the fire of God in their lives. Amen, amen. Glory to God. I am super, super, super excited because I understand that it's all about the kingdom. It is all about what God is doing, his way of doing things. And glory to God, I give him all the praises. And I give him all the honor because guess what? All of the praises and all of the honor is due unto him. Amen. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, come on, you know the story. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? You can say it. And you can say it with boldness. You can say it with authority. And you can serve notice on the devil. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? I know you can go back and think back on some things that you would have done, some things that you could have done that probably would have landed you to be somewhere else. Amen. But it was the Lord, his grace, hallelujah, and his mercy, because guess what? It endures through all generations. I am just overexcited today, and I just want to impress upon you, live this life where you can give God all of the praises. Make him first, and he'll make you first. Amen. He will make you first by giving you favor. He'll even make your enemy speak well of you. That's the word of God. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, this is Pastor Teresa Docks and coming to you on behalf of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are so excited, Elder and I, to serve you through our ministry, Kingdom Builders Development Institute, where we are extremely blessed spiritually to be a blessing to you. Amen. You know how you shake things off, things going to happen, but you got to shake it off, because if you don't, you will live in it. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I want to ask, is Edward on the
line?
Yes,
I leak is all my sword away. I'm about to buy a no.
Hallelujah. I don't see him on the line. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to move right along. I want to encourage you to get your Bibles out. I want to encourage you to prepare yourself to sit at the table, because guess what? The feast, you know what a feast is? The feast of the Lord is going on. Are you ready to feast with God? Are you ready to feast with the Lord? We say we want him, but you got to sit at the table. You got to sit at the table and learn of him. And that's how you defeat the enemy. Because the more you learn, the more you are accountable for. Amen. The more you know, the more you are accountable for. I'm excited because you know what? Things going to happen. But guess what? When you began to give God all of the praises in the midst of the storm, when you began to know that God has an expected end for you, when you began to know that no matter what it looked like, no matter what it seemed like, and no matter what it feels like, God is in the midst of your life. We're going to talk about where are you living? Where are you living today? Not naturally, but where are you living spiritually? Amen. I'm going to, before I lift up a word of prayer, I'm going to ask my son, Tyrell Edward, if he would come forth and give us the scripture reading at this time. Amen.
Amen. You hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay, so I'm going to be reading the scripture. Was it Psalms 100, 1 through 5?
Yes.
I think that's what I'm reading.
Yes.
Okay, one second. I'm going to read that scripture. Here we go. No. I'm going to read it from the New King James Version. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his plan. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, in his court with praise. Give thanks to his name and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Amen. The word of God is truly blessed. Thank you for reading the scripture. And as he said, he read from, was it the NIV version?
New King James Version, Psalms 1 through 5.
Amen. Thank you so kindly. Thank you.
Chapter 100.
Amen. The 100, Psalms 100. And he read verses 1 through 5 from the New King James Version. Thank you so kindly. I'm going to just reiterate on what he said, because I want to encourage everyone to know that the Bible is not just something you read. The Bible is something that you live. Amen. And as he was reading, make a joyful noise unto the Lord and all the land. Go tell everybody about the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Don't just serve him. Be happy about it. Come before his presence with singing. You know, when you began to get in the presence of the Lord, begin to sing a psalm. Begin to ask the Lord to put a song in your heart so you can sing from your heart. And know ye that the Lord, that he's God. You're talking to God himself. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. Did you know that we're his people and the sheep of his pasture? He is our shepherd and we're his sheep. And then the Bible says enter into his gate. That means enter into his house, his presence with thanksgiving. Be grateful and into his courts with praises. Glory to God, not complaining, but with praises. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Guess what? For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting, meaning that he knew that we were going to need everlasting mercy. He knew we were going to mess up. So guess what? His mercies endure through all generations. That's what the Bible says. And why would he say that to us? Simply because he knew that this man that he made was going to need his mercies. Amen, amen, amen. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to ask you to get your Bibles out. And as you get your Bibles and you prepare, I'm going to ask you that if you would turn to Exodus Hallelujah. Chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 8 through 12. And I'm going to ask if Elder would so kindly prepare those to read Exodus verses 8 through 12 as I lift up a word of prayer. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we come before you because we need you. We come before you, Lord God, because our life is a mess. God, we know that we're sinking sand without you. And Father, we diligently seek you. We want to delight ourselves in you, Father, so that you may give us the desires of our heart so that we can fulfill the call that you have upon us, God, so that we can please you, so that we can rest in your presence. God, we're seeking more of you in the name of Jesus. So, God, I ask you in Jesus' name that you will cause everyone on this line to love on you like never before. Forgive us, God, for anything that we've done or said that will keep us away from what you're doing in our lives. And we ask you right now in Jesus' name that you would allow us to become more like you as we yield to your presence. In Jesus' holy, matchless name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. I want to just ask that this time is Elder prepared. Exodus. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 1, verses 8 through 14. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I'm going to ask, I don't know if his telephone is muted. And the Bible say, be always ready. Glory to God. Well, I will go ahead on and read that. I don't know.
Okay, you said Exodus chapter 1?
Yes, verses 8 through 14.
Okay, the New King James Version states, Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we are. Amen. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them. So get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmaster to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Phathom and Rams, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were need because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptian made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. Amen. That's 8 through what again?
8 through 14?
Yes, 14 is, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. To hear to the reading of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, Elder. Thank you so kindly. We know that there's purpose in the Word of God. We're talking about today where are you living? You know, there has been the beginning of spiritual hunger since the beginning of time. But unfortunately, sometimes we don't know that we're spiritually hungry. We are hungry spiritually and starving, like Marvin, as they would say. But we thinking that it's things that we need to satisfy us, but it's actually, it's more of God that we need that will fulfill us. Amen. So we seek out things. We seek out people. We seek out believing that our needs should be met through material things. But God is trying to show us that we need to be fulfilled spiritually. And I believe within the church that there is such a hunger, and within the body of Christ, for the deeper things in God. And, you know, we were reared up in the Lord and we were taught wrong from right. But then as we get older, we began to have it our way. We began to do the things, you know, is that Burger King? Is it Burger King to say, have it your way? I believe it is, but we began to have it our way. And while all of this is going on, we began to become more spiritually hungry, but then we look at it and find that there's just a void in our lives, and we don't realize that we can't fulfill a spiritual need with material things. Amen. So many Christians, unfortunately, we don't understand that we need to develop a deeper life in Christ. And even to know what it looked like, even to know what it feels like, there's fulfillment in it when you don't have things. You know, when you don't have money, when you don't, God has some miraculous way, no matter where you live in spiritually, he has some way that he'll step in and he'll take over and he'll give you favor. And he'll even make your enemy speak well of you. Amen. So for many of us, and I'm going to say not just many of us, but in our Christianity, we don't understand that we need a revival. Amen. Where are you living? Are you living in that place of need of more of Christ? Because everything you do, it just don't work out. You know, you got believers, you go to church or you get in his presence and you fall down under the power of God, amen. And then there's so many gifts and operation in the church and, you know, we go deep and have hours of worship and, you know, we love worship, but we don't too much like preaching and teaching. I mean, some of us, but then we'd be saturated at the altar with God's presence. We sing these songs of worship and praises, and we see prolific rated miracles, and we still stuck. You know, these things do happen when God moves, but these things are not the focus, the total focus of our lives. We need a revival. And revival doesn't necessarily have to be outside of us. The revival is inside. You know, what is a revival? A revival is when you merely see an expression of God's goodness stirring not only inside the church, but inside of you. Because guess what? Truly, we are the church. So what is revival? Revival means that we need to repent. What is repentance? Mean we need to turn. We need to turn away from what does not please God. So we have to repent and not do it anymore. Burden become lighter. You know, a desire to realign our lives under God's word. You know, it's like I'm going to dedicate to a prayer line. I'm going to dedicate to being under his word. See, we have to make a change for spiritual growth to take its course. to live as the word dictates is not saying I'm going to live as the world dictates. It's a difference. Am I going to live as the word dictates, or am I going to live as the world dictates? See, revival is not about blessings. Listen, it's about burdens. I'm going to make it plain to you. You know, there's a place for blessings. But blessings without burdens will leave the church, or will leave you like a anemic and turn inward. What I mean, as God's people, we're not called by God to live only under blessings. We're called to be a blessing. To be a blessing. Amen. It's not always about us. God want to use you to be a blessing. So we can be so carried away by the unusual that we forget that there is a responsibility before God to reach the lost. You know, there was Jesus' words in the Bible. Actually, these are the marching orders that Jesus gave for the church. You know, even the baptism of the Holy Spirit was given not so that we just be blessed, but so that we can be a powerful witness of the word to the world, to the entire world. So too often we just get sidetracked, and we don't have focus correctly. We incorrectly focus ourselves on I. It's about I being blessed, me being blessed. Give me more for me. We're blessed to be a blessing. Where are you living? I ask you that question. Where are you living? What are you doing to be a blessing? You know, the burden of God's heart is to win the lost. It's not for us to just enjoy the blessings. We just simply cannot be a New Testament church without a burden over sin. You know, ours and the lost, because we all fall short of the glory of God. Everybody's going to miss it, but you can't stay there. Because we fall down, hallelujah, and we get up. Amen. We go through things. You are going to go through something. But the purpose is for you to get to something. Loss of a loved one, you're going through. You know, foreclosure, you're going through. Bankruptcy, you're going through. You're hungry, you're going through. Revival has to be more than getting blessed. Listen, but we must also understand that when God put a burden on you, it's a burden to do his will. It's a burden to do his work. Amen. It's a burden to do something that's on your mind and spirit to do. And then all of a sudden, all you realize is, I just want to bless this person, or I just want to bless these people. You know, my sister, she decided I'm going to bless mama every Sunday. And what she does, she make a fabulous meal. And she make this meal, and she bless mom every Sunday. But little did she know, she blessing me because I was doing the cooking and making a way. So now she picked up the burden. And then there's a ricochet effect from that. When you are obedient to what God tells you to do, you not only bless others, you bless yourself. So it's like it's a trifold blessing. You're blessing God for being obedient. Then you're blessing the person that God gave you the burden to bless. And then there go that ricochet, you get blessed. So remember, The burden of God's heart is to win the lost, not to curse them out when they mess up, but to bless them. Amen. Bless them that despitefully use you. Pray for them and do good. Now, I'm not saying be made a fool out of. I'm not saying that. I am saying to know when God got you doing some things. Where are you living? I can say to you, where are you living? Is the joy of the Lord upon you, or are you all discombobulated about things and situations? Or do you find yourself every time you turn around, you need to borrow some money? You need to do this, and you need that. Need. We need a revival within. You know, that takes me back to what Elder was just reading. Land of not enough. You know, anguish. What Elder was reading, it was talking about the Egyptians becoming, they became a horrible place for God's people. Egypt did. The Egyptians was ruling over them. They were slaves. And their expression in Egypt became an experience which was started out so good and ended up so very bad. You know, they were now living in a land of not enough. You ever been there? It's just never enough. No matter what happens, never enough. Need more. Not enough straws to make the brick. Not enough peace or safety. It was not enough freedom or power. They didn't even get enough rest because they was working. He was reading they were taskmasters over them, so they wasn't getting enough rest. It was not enough of anything and not enough of everything. And guess what they did? They cried out to God. So when we are operating and not enough, do we cry out to God? What are we doing? Are we crying out to God, or are we crying out to the world? You know, think about being in slavery. Think about having a taskmaster. You know, think about not having enough peace and not enough safety and not enough freedom and not enough power to do what you need to do, and then you restless, not enough rest, not enough of anything, and not enough of everything. Amen. And you're a slave. You know, slavery is a terrible existence. It is not the place that God wants us to be. Slavery will put you in bondage. You know, this slavery was used by God, though, to get them to hunger for their own land, to get them to hunger for a relationship with him, to get them to hunger for a relationship like their forefathers had. You know, so when they cried out to God, it was in their misery. But God allowed this to happen for a purpose. Amen. He let his people, who was called by his name, be put in slavery. Does that remind you of oneself? You know, Lord, why am I going through this? Why I can't just shake this? Why can't I just get out of this? Why can't I just get more than enough? Why? Ask yourself that question. Do you sometimes feel like maybe you're in bondage? You know, do you sometimes feel like maybe it's just not enough? Maybe I'm just in slavery. So this slavery that was used by God, it was a purpose behind it. He allowed them not to have enough so they can want him, because he is enough. And how do you get him? By getting a relationship with him like their forefathers had. But they was miserable. Egyptians had them in Egypt, and they did not represent the life that Christ wanted them to have. Sin, they were in sin. You know the story. And then sin, it's a form of bondage. When you're in sin, it's bondage. You might think that you can get through life without God or just pretending like, I know God. I was raised up in the Lord, and my mama used to pray, and my daddy used to be a deacon, and it's not enough. It's just not enough. See, without God, we're only fooling ourselves. You don't realize that you can become a slave to sin. He'll give you holes in your pocket. He'll make your car break down. He will allow things to happen so we can cry out to him. Without Christ in our lives, we're living in a land of not enough. What do you mean by that? I'm so happy you asked me that. Not enough satisfaction. You just can't be satisfied. You know, it's not enough meaning to life. You know, it's just not enough reason to live a full life. Unselfishly living for Christ. Listen, you don't have enough help to deal with tough times. You don't have enough freedom from the guilt of sin. The enemy will make you live in condemnation. He'll make you live in your past. He'll make you not have enough of forgiveness. He'll give you off with other people. And you'll think you have arrived and they haven't. He'll make that be on your face. People hate to see you coming because there's no joy, there's no peace. And then your conversations will tear down those that are seeking more Christ. See, God did not create us to exist in a land of not enough. You hear what I'm trying to say? The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And you're the they, we're the they, I'm the they, we are the they, and they that live therein. See, he's enough for us, but we have to seek him. You may not have a lot of money in your bank account. You may not even have a bank account. But if you got King Jesus, he's more than enough. God had a plan for Israel. Good plans. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. God has a future for them. And he has a future for us. God, sometimes slaves don't even think that there's enough because you're in bondage. When you're in bondage, you can't see the plans that he has for you. All you can see is what somebody else has done to you. You can't see that there's an expected end because you haven't read the scripture where he tells you that there's an expected end for us. You know, it's not meant for us to be in slavery. That's not his plan. We were not created to not have enough because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It was created for us to live in abundance, not just in abundance of things, but in abundance of spiritual things. Amen. God has given us a land of plenty, and he wants us to take rulership over it. If you understand what I'm saying, he wants us to have more than enough. And guess what? I am expecting great things. How about you? I'm going to play a portion of this song. I want you to get your communion ready because we have communion every Sunday that we're on the line. You can get your juice and get you some crackers. We're going to pray over it, and we're going to convert it from natural use to spiritual use. So as this song is playing, I want to encourage you to get your communion prepared. Because guess what? I am expecting great things.
Shout it out one more time. I'm expecting great things.
I'm expecting great things. I'm expecting great things. I'm expecting great things. Great things.
That's real simple right there. Can you help me declare it over your life?
Say, I'm expecting great things. I'm expecting great things.
Believe, God, that you do great things. I'm expecting some great things. How about you? Are you expecting great things? Where are you living today? Where are you living? Because if you're living in a place where you're not expecting great things, God wants us to expect some great things. What are you expecting? Are you living with what you see and not expecting God to move? In Exodus, where the Bible talks about that they cried out to God, and guess what happened? He heard them. Are you crying out to God, or are you crying out to people? Are you complaining, or are you expecting great things? I want to encourage you to expect some great things. God always hears the cry of those who are seeking help. When we let God know we need him, we cry out to him. We know that we can't do it. They can't do it. He can't help us. She can't help us. But guess who can help us? God can help us. And so we expect some great things because we got a great God. God always hears us when we cry out to him and we tell him we need him. But I want to encourage you that he will remember his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God never forget his promise, and his promise includes a place that's flowing with milk and honey, a place of plenty rather than a land of not enough or just enough. Where are you living? Are you living in a land of not enough? Are you living in a land of not of just enough? Are you living in a land that you're not expecting God to move? Are you living in a land where it just won't just happen? I mean, I tried this. Or you're living in a land that is an excuse over here, it's an excuse over there. God has everything. God couldn't do anything with them until they began to hunger for him. When they began to hunger for his help. See, no one can be saved unless they too hunger for God to come to them, to come in and change the situation. We can't do it ourselves. We think we can. It's only going to last so long. But the Bible declares that no one is righteous. No, not one. Therefore, we have to come to Christ as he tell us in the scripture, and not by our own ability, not by our own ideals, but it's by the help of God. See, the word of God is to believe and to obey, not just to cherish our own ability, but to worship his ability. Amen. So how do we do that? We have to have faith. It comes by faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. You don't believe me? Turn your Bibles to Romans. Romans chapter 10. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10, 17. I want to tell you, if you dare to search the scripture, if you dare to believe that the word of God will bring you great things, the word of God will bring you more than enough, the word of God will bring you healing, the word of God will bring you deliverance, the word of God will put you in a place of peace, the word of God will do it. If it can't be done, go to the word. Go to what God says. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so now faith, not talking about your mama's faith, not talking about your daddy's faith. I'm not talking about auntie and uncle. I'm not talking about Gigi or Big Mama. I'm not talking about my dear. I'm talking about now faith, your faith. It comes by hearing. So we run from hearing the word of God. We running from our faith. So now faith come by hearing, and hearing is by the word of God. So we got to get into the presence. We got to get into the word. We got to deny ourselves, and we got to believe and expect some great things. Amen. And that's how you get out of the land of not enough. It's not enough. So when the morning comes, rise up. As Brother Edward was reading the scriptures, and he was talking about make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Sing your song. God will give you a new song, not that old song that you've been singing. We've been singing, amen. Tonight is the night, not that song. God will give you a new song. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord in all ye land. Then he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Be happy to serve him. Not because you're obligated, because it's something that you need to do. because you're going somewhere and you're expecting some great things. Amen. So we want to go to the land of not just enough, but we want to go to the land of more than enough, the land of plenty. Amen. When we go to the land of plenty, there's adequate blessings. See, Israel became upset at God. They wanted more blessings rather than learn the lesson of the desert place. See, sometimes we have to be in a desert place to experience more than enough. Sometimes we have to go through, like Moses and Aaron did. They represent God's spiritual call on Israel, a call to be a blessing to the world. And they wanted more miracles. And they also, they wanted the people of God to understand that the commandments were real. They wanted the people of God to honor God. They wanted the people of God to see the simple blessings of God so that we'll be prepared to walk into the land of plenty. And I'm going to get to the close, but I want you to know that the land of plenty is when we expect great things. That's when they come. We have to look beyond our faults, look beyond the fault of others, and speak over the life of not enough. Speak over that and expect some great things. Amen. 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 Not that we're going to arrive, but we can go into our promised land. God's place for the people of Israel was not to be in a desert place and stay there. God was leading them to the promised land. And this was a land of plenty. This was a land of more than enough. God is doing some things. This was a land that the enemy couldn't come nigh them. This was a land that they were more than a conqueror. This was a land where they were going to possess the land. They were going to take over the land. This was a land that they were going to not only plant, but they was going to reap. That's where God want to take you. That's where God want to take me. But God is expecting some things out of us that we would get over the past, expecting some great things based on his word. Amen, amen, amen. Where are you living today? Where are you living spiritually? You know, it's time to work. It's time to work out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. It's time to move forward. It's time to say, Lord, use me. It's time. It's time. What used to work, it won't work anymore. What used to, you can get by with doing this and doing, it's not going to work anymore. See, Moses is now dead. Amen. And the old place of just enough, it's now gone. Amen. It's now gone. Can you see it? What is old has passed away, and God is doing some new things. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you see it? See your old passing away. See some new things happening. Do you see some new things happening? I want you to see it in your mind. And I want you to say it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to go into meditation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moses is dead. Glory to God. The old place, you're not going to settle for it anymore. It's gone. It's a new leader in the land. Joshua, which means Jesus. Jesus have come on the scene. The Old Testament was a place of just enough. Just enough blood for the bull and the goat to cover sin. It was just enough of the Holy Spirit for a few to be sealed. It was just enough revelation to keep them looking forward. It was just enough. Moses is dead. The Old Testament era has passed away. And the land of just enough isn't good enough anymore. That wilderness experience is old. That Egypt anointing, that Egypt way of doing things, the world way of doing things, was just enough. But the Holy Spirit is not given to just enough people. If you just enough, the Holy Spirit is more than enough. So people that want the Spirit of the Lord, we have to tap into the more than enough. Amen. More than enough. More than enough, and be expecting, hallelujah, great things to happen. There's a place of plenty. Plenty spiritual anointing. Plenty wisdom. Plenty understanding. Plenty love. Plenty forgiveness. Plenty, plenty, plenty. Plentiful peace. Plenty. Walk into that place of more than enough. Where are you living? I want you to think about it. Where are you living? Are you in that place of plenty? However, it's not enough to make us fat and free. You know, it's not enough to make us responsible. It's not enough to make us accountable. It's not enough for us to triumph. We can talk about it, but we're not being about it. Those that fear leaving the land of just enough, you'll stay there permanently. You're going to die in the desert, not having the experience of the greater place of the promised land. God has an abundant life planned for us, not just enough. God wants us to travel through just enough, that stage of just enough. You know, not the camp there. We don't need to camp there permanently and just enough. So this means that getting a weekly blessing at the altar. It means that being fed daily. It means that moving toward being a responsible person. It means being a responsible Christian and living and serving people. It means that not looking for a blessing, but being a blessing. Amen. It's a movement to move into a step forward of abundance. That you are in a land of plenty, that you ate the new fruit, the mammon that came from heaven, that you're expecting great things. So now that we are walking in a place of being responsible, we get our own food. We are accountable for our actions. We seek God for our own self. We learn how to serve. We learn how to forgive. We learn how to love. We learn how to smile. We learn how to enter into his presence with a new song. It's not a normal process. It's a responsible place. So we no longer look back at what somebody did. We no longer look back at what somebody didn't do. We take our stand. We take our place. We plow our own field. We set up our own home. We crop our own harvest. We fight our own enemy with God, with the Holy Spirit. It's a place of Pentecost. It's a place of blessing. It's a place of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that's going to empower us for service. It's a place of plenty. It's a place of supernatural manifestation. So we need to be careful. And we need to walk in a place of being revived daily. not a place of expectation of man, but a place of expectation of God. I'm telling you, where the golden dust is in the air, where the people of God fall to the ground, that means we yield our way to God's way. That way we can allow God to move. That's how we triumph. Where are you living? Let's move by the power of God, that he can change our lives according to the scripture. Let's witness the lost being saved. Let's witness the slave being free. Let's witness the chains being broken. Let's stay focused. Let's expect more than enough. God will grant us a spiritual and a biblical revival if we remain at the altar. Let's not be satisfied with just enough. There's occasional miracles that's going to take place, and God's going to release a land of plenty upon those that diligently seek him. Study the word. Make sure you got Bibles in your home so that the Bible can be in your heart, that you might not sin against him. Go into a place of meditation so that the Lord may use you, so that you can live in the abundance of the land of plenty. What is the land of plenty? The land that the enemy can't take your peace. The land that the enemy can't steal your joy. The land that you got your marching orders to win the soul to Christ. Amen. And as the church move forward today, because we're the church, that we become more and more oriented. We become more and more focused. We find ourselves longing for more and more historical faith. We find ourselves wanting and to experience miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen. Begin to praise God. Begin to clap your hands and cause the enemy to flee. Begin to stomp the ground that you stand on and take back that territory. Because we are believers. And God has enabled us to minister to each other, to fulfill the needs of others, and that we can know exactly where we're living. Where are you living today? Where are you living? Well, right now, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that you have crossed over to the land of plenty. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. I speak it into the atmosphere. I speak it by faith that we're living. We're living in our tomorrow. We're living in our tomorrow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I ask him to fill everyone on this line with the anointing, that we'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everyone in the sound of my voice, that God will echo in your spirit, that you'll see the glory of God, that you'll begin to see his mighty work, because you yield your thoughts, you yield your way to his way, and that you forgive those that have despitefully used you, that you love on them anyway. Don't have any odds against them. Pray for them. Bless them. Watch God work. Watch him work. Guess what? He's doing great things. He's doing great things. So, Father, we thank you right now that we're baptized with your spirit, and that your Holy Spirit is leading, guiding, directing us in the name of Jesus. Let us embrace it by faith right now. Pull down those strongholds. Pull them down. Bring it into captivity. under the power of God, because he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above, more than we can ask or think. God is able to do it if you just trust him. So let's just manage ourselves and watch God do the rest. Show the love of God and live in a different place. Amen, amen, amen. I just serve notice on you today that from this day forward, you are about to grow. You are about to become what God has called you to become. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen. I want to thank you and welcome you to the Kingdom Builders Development Institute, where our motto is, we are blessed to be a blessing, where we push you into purpose, amen, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let God use you. Let him serve. Let serve him by serving people, by forgiving, so that when they look at you, that they will be able to say that God is moving in your life. Glory to God. I want to say happy birthday to my brother. His birthday is today, Derek, and we want to tell him we love him and that we're pushing for him, that he was began to walk like never before in God's will and God's purpose. And I want to say happy birthday to my goddaughter, Renee. She has a birthday today, and she is engaged to be married. Hallelujah. It's a great day. I'm telling you, I'm expecting great things. How about you? Are you expecting God to do some things in your life? You've got to expect it. You must expect it. You say, oh, me, oh, my. No, no, no. I expect great things. So in closing, I want to tell you, begin to sow into what God is doing. It don't have to be this ministry, but sow into the ministry of the kingdom. That would enable us to go further in the things of God. So if you like what we're doing, we want to encourage you to go to www.giveify.com and look for Kingdom Builders. You'll see Pastor Teresa, Docs, and Elder Docs, and you can sow and you can bless the kingdom of God. Amen, 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 amen. We send much love to you, and we want to ask you to continue to pray for us as we pray for you, because guess what? We are expecting great things in your life. We say God bless you, and we love you. Have a super, super natural day. You can join us on Wednesdays. We're here every Wednesday at 5 o'clock, same place, www.blogtalkradio.com/KBDI. You can join us or you can give us a call at area code 646-668-2780. And then if you want to touch us, you can call our home office, which is area code 313-583-9739. We say God bless you, and until we meet again, join us on Internet Radio with Elder. He's on Thursdays at 5. We have Brother Dave on Tuesdays at 5. If you want our calendar, you can send us a shout out with our email, kingdombuildersplaza@gmail.com. Well, I'm going to close with saying that God want to do some great things in your life. Where are you living spiritually? Just tell the devil, we're going to tear your kingdom down. As we begin to serve our communion, we have communion every Sunday. We want to ask you to prepare your elements. You can use your juice, your water. You can take bread. You can take crackers. And the purpose of this is God said healing is the children's bread. This is the supper that represents God in our lives, that we can take our spiritual things, our natural things, and we can convert it to spiritual things. So if you have prepared the elements, this represents the Last Supper. God said, as much as you do it in remembrance of me. So that means that you can do this as often as you like to, that we can eat with the Lord. It's an act of faith. He said when he prepared the Last Supper that he would go and prepare a place for us, and that he would send his Holy Spirit to rest and rule in our lives. When we allow the Holy Spirit to rule us, we can live in a different place spiritually. It don't matter what's around you. It matters what is in your head. The enemy want to attack what you think and what you see. But we want to encourage you to live in a place where it's more than enough. So we're going to pray over the elements, and we're going to ask you to be a partaker with us. In the name of Jesus, this is communion. Communion is when you commune with God. It's the Last Supper. It's the Last Supper that Jesus had here in the natural, so that we can begin to become God in the earth realm. Amen. Did you know that you are a little G? We were created in his own image, in his own likeness, so that we can serve him. And this is a way. It's not the natural bread. This is spiritual bread. Now, Father, I ask you to convert this bread to become the body of our Lord and Savior. I ask you to convert this juice to become the blood of Jesus. This is the Last Supper. Father, we ask you to forgive us, Father. Forgive us from any of our past sins. Forgive us from that place of Egypt. Forgive us for staying in slavery. Forgive us, Father. Father, show us the more than enough. Show us, God, how to increase spiritually. That we would eat and drink and be merry spiritually. The breaking of the bread, let us break that stronghold. Let us break our past. Let us break it right now in the name of Jesus. For the body was broken that we might live. Let us eat together. Consume the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're partaking in his suffering. You're a partaker of his healing. He said, if you're not willing to drink of my blood, you have no part in me. He said, if you drink, you have part in me. So let us drink the blood of our Lord and Savior together. Let us drink together. For this is the blood of our Lord and Savior. As you drink it, get out of that place where you've been living. Begin to live in that place of more than enough, that place of plenty. Expect some great things, because God said it's ours. Begin to walk in a place of thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. We say, Father, make us one, because you and your Father is one. So we ask you to make us one and to teach us how to tear down the kingdom of Satan by walking is more than enough. Amen, amen. It's by the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow. It's by the name of Jesus that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Do you know it was the blood? I can't let this go. Do you know that it was the blood of Jesus? I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood of Jesus that caused the enemy to flee. Amen, amen. Enjoy this song, and then we're going to release you. I know it was the blood.
I'm so glad. It was the blood. I'm so glad that I know it was the blood. I know. It was the blood. Remember Patty.
I know
it was the blood that changed me.
Yes, it was.
Anybody saved out here tonight?
And yes, it is.
One day,
he died.
He made it.
God bless everyone. Have a blessed rest of your day.
Yes, you can. Thank you.